letter, 1 Peter. We're just going to be looking at just a few verses in it. Chapter 1, if you have a Bible, it's on page 1075. It's a letter about rejoicing. It's a letter about rejoicing. If you were here on the prayer meeting on Wednesday, I was talking about Christians ought to be Christians who celebrate. There's a lot to celebrate if you're a Christian. There's an awful lot to celebrate if you're a Christian. And we're continuing that theme today about rejoicing. If we're Christians today, despite the world that we live in, there's an awful lot to rejoice in. Now, I don't know what you're like and what you've come with this morning. I don't know if you're the type of rejoicing person. We all rejoice, or we all take joy in many different things. In chapter 1, verse 6, it starts off, chapter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice. This isn't any kind of rejoicing. This isn't any kind of joy. It's really, really rejoicing. It's kind of greatly rejoicing, as in, like, this should be the most wonderful thing that you've ever heard about. This should be the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. Now, I'm sure we could all share stories afterwards of the things that we've taken joy in. You take joy in getting married, hopefully. Okay, you were really joyful when you got married. You take joy in your first child. Hopefully, you were really joyful. Well, one of you might have been really joyful at the first child. There are all sorts of situations where you'll be really joyful. Really joyful when you pass your driving test. Really joyful when you get your first paycheck. Really joyful when you buy your first house. There's all sorts of things in our world that are good and that we're meant to be joyful about. The Bible says that God made this world and he made it good, and we were meant to enjoy it. Adam and Eve were meant to enjoy the world. God made it and he said, fill it, subdue it. You're going to enjoy it. I've made it for you. God's a God who's good. He's not a God who made the world and said, well, you can't do this and you can't do this and you can't do this. In fact, God said, you can enjoy the whole world, yet don't do this one thing. We're meant to be joyful in this world. This world is meant for us and everything in it and the people in it. We're meant to be joyful about. So this morning, I want to talk to you this morning about rejoicing. But not just the things in this world. Because even though the things in this world are good, many of them are good, even though our relationships we can take joy in, there's something greater, something you can greatly rejoice in, something that is beyond what you can see, beyond what you can taste, beyond what you can handle with your hands. You can greatly rejoice. There's much joy in this passage. He keeps talking about rejoice. Peter's writing to Christians who are regionally scattered in these different areas, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and he's telling them that even though they're maybe not in the place that they'd want to be, he's telling them, look, you can rejoice. And the first thing that we want to be rejoicing about if we're Christians is we can rejoice because of the past. We can rejoice because of the past. In chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Peter is talking about the past. He's looking back and he's saying, look, you can rejoice. You can be really, really glad today. And if you're Christians this morning, you can be really glad this morning. You can be really rejoicing this morning because of what God has done in the past. You remember his mercy. You remember his mercy. When you look back over the history of the world, we can rejoice because we look at God's mercy. You can rejoice that in the creation of the world, when Adam and Eve were made by God and they were told to enjoy the world, and they were really foolish. They did the one thing they weren't supposed to do. We can rejoice that in the past that God did not end the earth there and then. But he showed them mercy. He made them clothes of skin, and he showed them mercy, and he's let mercy reign through history. Today is the day of God's mercy. We should be rejoicing. Today is the day of God's mercy. We should be rejoicing. Today is the day of God's mercy. You and I are alive. We should be rejoicing. We should be glad. You look at all the acts of God in history. Look at how he rescued his people from Egypt. There was a big famine in Egypt, in the world, and at the time of Joseph, everyone flocked to Egypt because Joseph was there. God's person was there, and that's where Abraham moved, and that's where they the family of Abraham moved, and Jacob, and they settled, and then they settled for 400 years, and they became slaves, and they were under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made them work hard. Really hard. And he wouldn't let them go when they were slaves. And what did God's people do after they were rescued? They were to rejoice. They were to rejoice because God had rescued them from Pharaoh. You see, time and time again, when we look back at the Bible, when we look back over history, we see God's people in really difficult situations and God rescues them. And they rejoice. Look at David from his enemies. He was rescued. And what does he do in the Psalms? He rejoices. He rejoices. When we look back, we are to see everything that God has done, and we're to rejoice. And when we look at verse 3, we look back at what God has done. And he's given us a living hope, because what has he done? It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This morning, we're meant to rejoice because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. You look at whatever problem we've been rescued from in the past. Well, this is the biggest problem of them all, isn't it? Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. You see, you and I all face problems in our life. You and I are all different and we'll face problems at different ages of our life. So those of us in our early years will, you know, the children downstairs will face all kinds of problems in their school. They'll face problems that are associated with their age. Teenagers will face problems associated with their age. And if you're in your 20s, not many of us, will face problems in their age. In your 30s, 40s, you'll all face problems in your ages of different kinds of problems related to your age. But this morning you can rejoice because Jesus Christ has dealt with the biggest problem of all. He's dealt with sin and he's dealt with death. And you ought to be able to rejoice. You ought to be able to smile. That's what joy is meant to be, the definition of the word joy. It's meant to be an inward expression and an outward expression. We're joyful in our hearts and our minds. We're joyful in the way that we sing. We're joyful in the way we interact with one another. We're joyful in the way we give our money. We're joyful because Jesus Christ has come and he's dealt with our biggest problem. You know, we find it so hard to be joyful, don't we? Why do we find it so hard to be joyful? Well, it's because we forget, isn't it? We forget everything that God has done. I was going to school the other day. It was Elijah's parents' evening. So every time there's a parents' evening, I want him to behave that a little bit better. I say, by the way, I'm going to go see your teacher. It puts fear into him. So I was speaking to him the other day, and I said to him, so Elijah, I'm off to see a teacher next week. Are you ever naughty at school? And he's like, no, Dad, I'm never naughty at school. I'm never naughty. I'm never naughty at school. Are you sure? I'm never naughty at school. Are you sure? Because I'm seeing your teacher in 2 days. And then he says to me, well, there was this one time when I was 4. I was like, it's one time when I was 4. Okay, it's a long time ago. Anyway, so the next day passes and we're driving home from school. And he says, Dad, Now you were asking me if I've been naughty at school. Well, actually, there was this one time, really. He knew the parents even was coming. He started to remember, didn't he? He started to remember what he'd done wrong. And I said, so there was this one time. And he said, yes. I said, what happened? He said, I had a real row off the teacher. I said, a row? What, worse than Daddy's row? He said, no, worse than yours. He had a real row. And I said, what did you have a row about? What did you get told off about? He said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I said, listen, Elijah, you either tell me now or I'm going to find out from your teacher tomorrow. He said, well, in that case, I better tell you then. So as soon as he knew that he was going to be found out, he confessed everything. He confessed all. You see, sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget not of God's mercy and of love and of the resurrection, but what we forget is what we're really like. We forget that we're sinners. We forget that actually we're really, really bad sinners. You know that expression, your memory's like a sieve, yeah? We use that expression. Well, sometimes for me, it's the other way around. My memory's not like a sieve. It's the other way around. My memory fills up. You smell something or you taste something, and then it reminds you of something that you did. And you smell something and you taste something, you're in a certain environment, and then you remember, think, well, I can't believe I did that. Or I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I talk like that. Or I can't believe I behave like that. And you see, when we start confessing our sin, that's what we'll be looking at at communion later. When we start remembering our sin, my friend, it should bring you great joy if you're a Christian, shouldn't it? That Jesus Christ died for that sin. It should bring you great joy when you start remembering all of your sin. That, as we heard about on Wednesday, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, our sin is great. Just look at the world. But the gospel's greater. Our sin is great. We don't need to be a little six-year-old boy. Our sin is great. But Christ has died for sin. And he's been raised from the dead. And we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice. There's the joy of the past. There's also the joy of the present. Verse 6, in this we greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We rejoice of everything that Christ has done. He's raised from the dead. We also take joy and rejoice in the present. But actually in this rejoicing, there's problems. Christians can rejoice even when it's difficult. You see, it's not a question of will I suffer? It's a question of when I suffer. There is a certainty that all of us, however old we are, whatever life we are going through, we will all struggle and suffer at some point. But Peter reminds us, well, we can rejoice even though we're struggling. We can rejoice even though we're suffering. We can rejoice as Christians even though we're suffering and struggling, because you know what? We have faith. We have faith. And this faith, that if you have this faith, it is worth more than gold. It's worth more than anything else. You can rejoice today, you can rejoice in your present, if you've got faith. Because that faith is worth more than anything else. You see, when we struggle in this life, what that struggle reminds us is that this world, this earth, is not our home. when we struggle in this life, when we're going through all sorts of trials and all sorts of difficulties, it reminds us of our faith. And it reminds us of what our faith is pointing to. It's pointing forwards. And it's pointing to something that's far more precious than gold. And we need constant reminding about that. Parents, we need constant reminding of that for our children, don't we? We need a constant reminder that our education for our children is not the most important thing. That clubs for them aren't the most important thing. But they've got something even greater than that. We need a reminder of that if we're middle-aged or whatever, as we try and establish ourselves and try to find homes and stability. We need to be reminded, well, there's something more than that. We need to be reminded of that when we're struggling in our very old age, don't we? That we're struggling with our health, struggling with our mind. That all this unsettling reminds us of our faith and what our faith points to. It's worth far more than gold itself. We live in a society where people compare themselves. We live in a society which is an online society, where people see the happy photos of other people's families and pictures on Facebook and social media sites, and you can see what they're doing, and it makes you feel sometimes, well, I don't have what they have. But actually, in our difficulties as Christians, we're reminded of our faith, which is worth more than gold. It's worth more than anything that anyone can offer you. And it points forward. A Christian, some of you will know them, lives in Texas. And the floods of Houston just a few months ago. And they had to leave their house because they knew their house was going to be flooded. And they didn't, like many other Texans, know how much that flood was going to cause. And they had to leave and they had to go and stay in a hotel. And they were emailing us and telling us what it was going to be like. And they were talking about the banks of the river going to flood and what they would have to go back to when the waters receded. And they were talking about all the difficulties. They were talking about all the people that have had their homes devastated. But at the end of the email, this friend just kind of said this. He said, well, I could continue about all the destruction. I could continue about all the problems. But you know what? Stuff is just stuff. My treasure is laid up in heaven. He was a Christian who understood that stuff was just stuff. His treasure was laid up in heaven. My friends, we can rejoice in the present. You can rejoice that today, if you're a Christian and if you've got faith, that you've got everything. And as Paul says in one of his letters, whether trouble comes, or nakedness comes, or shipwreck comes, or the job loss comes, or the relationships break down, or something happens with the kids at school, or whatever comes, you can rejoice. Because you've got faith, and it's worth more than anything else. You can rejoice because of what Jesus has done in the past. You can rejoice today, even in the difficulties. But you also rejoice because of what will happen in the future. Verses 7 and 8 and 9, it's particularly verse 8, whom you're rejoicing because you're going to see Jesus. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here on Remembrance Sunday, we're remembering, aren't we? Remembering all the wars, remembering all the fights, remembering all those who have fallen, and you look back at the world. I was reading the Bible, and just before we came into the service, and I was reading at the end of the book of Judges, there was a period in history. There was a period in history where there was no king, and everyone did what they wanted. We sometimes feel like we're living in a place like that, aren't we? We live in a world, we live in a society where it seems that everyone does what they want. But my friend, you can rejoice if you're a Christian, because you're heading to meet Jesus. And you see, Jesus is a king. And he is a king unlike any other kings. We're called as Christians to pray for our rulers. We're called to pray for those in charge. And we're called to pray for them because they need our prayers. We're called to pray for them because they need our prayers. And you can tell from the news, even this week, that those in politics really need our prayers. Those in authority really need our prayers. We're called to pray for them because we want them to pray. We want them to rule in a way that is wise and fair and just. We all want that, don't we? We all want to live in a society that's fair and just. And we need to pray for them because they can't rule in a way that is fair and just. Because they, like us, do what is wrong. They, like us, are tempted, and they will do the things sometimes that they know they shouldn't do. But we're never called to pray for Jesus, are we? We're never called to pray for him. Because he doesn't need our prayers. Because he is righteousness. He is the king who rules in fairness and justice. His kingdom is perfect. His kingdom, where the lion and the lamb will live in safety. His kingdom, where there'll be people from every tribe and tongue and nation, and there will be no fighting. His kingdom, where everyone is welcome if they've repented of their sin. His kingdom that will last forever. My friends, if you're a Christian, you can rejoice of the future. That you're heading for a kingdom. And it's going to have Jesus at the centre of it. There's going to be no man there who doesn't know what he's talking about and will say one thing and do another. It's going to have Jesus there. And you're heading for it if you're a Christian. You should be rejoicing today of your destination. That if you're a Christian, is utterly secure. It's utterly incorruptible. Never going to fade away. It's not like one of these objects that you can buy with your money today and is obsolete in a year or 2 years' time. It's a kingdom that will never perish or fade. It's a kingdom where you'll never be dissatisfied. My friends, if you're not a Christian here this morning, we're talking about rejoicing in a king who's died for his people. We're talking about rejoicing about a king who protects his people even though they go through difficulties today. We're talking about a king whose kingdom in the future is going to be wonderful, that it's going to be perfect. So what about your life? What about your struggles? What about the things that you're working for? Maybe you're working hard to provide for your family, and that's good. Maybe you're working hard in your career and in your society, that's good. In your community, that's good. But my friends, those things will only last a short time, and they will come and go. But you see, there is a king who offers you and your family something better. There is a king who offers you forgiveness for your sin. It needs confession And that means that you're to recall your sin and you're to say, well, actually, I wouldn't say this to everyone, but actually, this is what I'm really like. If you confess your sin, he will forgive you. You can have it forgiven because he died on the cross for it. And if you become a Christian today, you will enjoy all the benefits of being a Christian. You will not have the healthiest life. You will not have the wealthiest life. You probably won't have the happiest life. But I'll tell you what, you'll be able to rejoice. Because you will have faith. And you will have something that's far precious than even gold. And then your faith will guarantee this wonderful place in God's kingdom where you'll be with Jesus forever. There's a verse in the Bible which sums it up as I come to close. What good is it if you gain the whole world, yet you forfeit your soul? What good is it if you get everything that you want? If you had to make your wish list now of all the things that you want right now, what good is it if you gain all those things, yet you forfeit your soul? My friends, today we can rejoice because of what Jesus has done in the past. He's died and he's been raised to life. There's evidence, there's proof. You can rejoice today even in the difficulties. And you can rejoice because of where you'll be heading in the future. And if you put your faith in this King, in this Jesus, my friends, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be let down. You'll never turn back. And my friends, you will end up seeing this King face to face. You will live forever in eternity. You will have a body that will never age and degrade and perish. And this promise is for you and your family and for your friends. Come to this King. Come to this King and rejoice.